Good morning. Today is Monday, November the 7th.
Yeehaw.
If your clock looks like our clock, you forgot to change your clock.
Is that why he's grabbing the clock?
Yeah, that's why he's reaching for the old studio clock. Oh, joining us this morning is Eureka Police Chief Andy Mills. Our quote this morning, let's see if we can find an easy one here to read.
Single syllables.
Yeah, tell me about it. Not too many of them. Ah, here's a good one. And unfortunately, it might be apropos. It's apropos because you got a couple straps around your badge, but also for tomorrow. What soap is for the body, tears are for the soul.
Ah, oh, very.
The Jewish proverb. Yeah.
Very nice.
How many of those bands can you put on a badge at one time?
God, geez. I'll tell you, lately it's just been awful.
Yeah, it's... Is it... Are there trends, I guess, would be the simplest thing to say? Is it regional? Is it state? Is it metropolitan? Is it suburban? Is it anything?
It's everywhere. I was looking at the data last week, and one report I read said that the homicides of police are up 300% nationwide, and these are ambushes. So I think we've made a turn. You know, a lot of police officers die in the line of duty from traffic accidents, the typical things that go on, heart attacks, et cetera, et cetera. And over time, that the heart attack, the health stuff has subsided because people are in better shape. It's a younger workforce right now. And then it now on the back.
You mean there are not too many old guys anymore in policing?
What are you referring to here, Brian?
just an observation.
Yeah, okay. Of your gray hair, Andy. And then now we're seeing a lot more multiple officers being killed, as well as ambush kind of environments. And this is, it's going to have to change.
Are they happening in rural settings? Because I would think ambush would be easy in rural settings, out in the boonies. But you don't hear sheriffs. Most times it seems like it's municipal police.
We sent Tay Song over to MODOC yesterday or Saturday to go to the funeral of a police officer there, a sheriff deputy who was killed in the line of duty. I think most often it is police officers, for municipal police agencies, because we deal with a lot more volume than a sheriff typically does. Now, here, it's not the case. The sheriffs are...
Nothing is the case here that is
typically...
Yeah. Pretty safe on that one.
But so I think, by and large, it's that way. However, I do think that there is a great deal of concern nationwide for the extremist element, and especially when you talk about what took place in Oregon not so long ago.
But aren't most of the extremist perspectives pro-law enforcement?
No.
Okay.
We can discuss that if you'd like.
I think so, probably in about 3 or 4 minutes. KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:19. We'll be back with more from Andy Mills.
You've never heard us before, because we're something brand new. It's called Destination Radio. If you live in Ferndale or Gold Beach, Blue Lake or Klamath, Brookings or Eureka, you'll be looking for someplace different to take the family, something special to do next weekend. The best destinations for day trips and overnights, for hiking or biking, for beachcombing or birdwatching, and you'll turn to us for ideas, because you're the reason we're here, to help you find your close-to-home destination. Stay, play, and relax with us. Destination Radio.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Times, 8:24. We're back talking shop this morning with Eureka Police Chief Andy Mills. Andy, before the break, we were talking a little bit about some of the trends that were going on and how some of the trends of officer
involved
shootings,
deaths.
Mm-hmm. Shootings of officers, I guess, is the way,
right.
way to do it. You said the trend is there. It's not necessarily metropolitan. It's not necessarily... even urban at all. It could happen out in the boonies. But you said that some of those groups, typically they're called white supremacists, but I mean, we could say constitutionalists, we could say communists. I mean, there's a bunch of groups, and throw the overlay of religious on top of is another matrix in there.
Just extreme ideology, whatever it is.
Yeah, out on the edges, the 5% in any direction.
Right.
They don't tend to be pro-law enforcement. Are they anti-law enforcement or anti-government?
Well, I think it's more, it depends but on which group, but I think it's more anti-government, and law enforcement is the visual representation of government. Who's the only one that's available 24 hours a day? Law enforcement.
Well, you're elected officials.
Yeah.
Oh, wrong?
No comment.
Do I get gonged on that one?
Gong. Here comes the hook.
Yeah, Chuck Barris is coming out of his grave and ringing that gong.
Yeah, exactly. Okay. So I it's more of an anti-government thing. And although when something needs to get done, they typically call law enforcement to execute the mission. And so that's where you get some conflict. I think that there are some groups right now that are pretty, whether it's because of the election or just this, the trend, the way things are going, Sovereign Citizens and Morris Nation and things like that, where they are virulently anti-law enforcement and are violent, they're well-armed, and they're ready to take up a battle. And then, you know, it doesn't...
So why anti-cop? What does that mean?
Well, I think that they don't want anybody telling them what to do. And the only mechanism for society to tell them what to do is to use law enforcement.
So it's an anarchist.
It's an anarchist, but on the far right and the far left. And so what you get, consequently, when you have people that are ramping up the rhetoric on all sides, is that people become entrenched and have the conspiratorial theory. I spoke when I first got here.
This morning?
No. Oh. When I first got here.
When you had your tan.
Eureka, yeah, I was still tan, yeah. And now I'm pasty white. And one guy mentioned, he said, I hear that the federal government is practicing in Texas with law enforcement to invade our communities and take our guns away. And guy was dead serious. I said, I can tell you, you know, that is not taking place. I would have known. I was part of Major City Chiefs and, you know, Intelligence Commanders Group, and that wasn't even a discussion or a thought. Because, first of all, most cops are pro-Second Amendment. So it's going to be pretty tough to convince 900,000 cops nationwide to go and take people's guns away.
And
plus, it's
and
just
keep
ridiculous.
The
and keep the secret, yeah. And we can't keep a secret about anything, let alone something like that.
But there will be the conspiracy folks, obviously.
Yeah, but the point for me is that the more people try to ramp up rhetoric and what you say matters. So if you're a person in a visible spotlight and you really go to the extreme to make your point, well, that affects people, and especially the one-off kind of person who's maybe a little bit mentally disturbed.
Or they don't hear inflections or humor or...
Is this sarcasm or is this truth?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then that's obviously it's tough, particularly if you're looking at things like letters or transcriptions or things that don't convey emotion.
Well, it's like text messaging people. You know, that's why emojis become so popular, because you don't want people to misconstrue what you're trying to say.
Oh.
Do you know what an emoji is?
Yeah, it's a little circle smiley face guy on the cell phone.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
I don't know if you still had a flip phone or not.
I don't, but those in my family do. And proud.
Yes, yeah, proud of it.
Yeah. If it's good enough for Gibbs, man. Is this a trend? Is this a cyclical event, do you think? I mean, is this our 1960s Civil War or Civil Rights battles that were going on during the Vietnam War?
Yeah, I started policing in 1977, and we've seen this swing throughout the years, and I hope that soon we hit that downward swing. Right now it's on a inverted L curve, but I have seen it over the years, not only nationwide, but in locally in certain jurisdictions. We went through a time where we had a lot of officers killed in San Diego, and it's terrible. I mean, you get sick of going to funerals, and the emotional toll that takes on law enforcement is truly difficult.
Well, I would think the community at large, I mean, I even stupid like graffiti
right.
takes a toll. Well, right. I mean, that, on the continuum, it doesn't exist. But no, most of us have seen that. And go, ah, really? Yeah. Well, building up to more significant issues. Obviously.
Well, there was a good article not too long ago on the broken window theory. And now in New York, you know, they've interpreted it to mean the broken window theory is you got to go out and take every crook off the street and jack everybody up and search them without cause. That's not the broken window theory. The broken window theory was started in the late 60s, and it was a study done in New York and in Palo Alto where they took a car in each neighborhood, and as that car deteriorated, the crime increased in that neighborhood. Of course, in New York, it took like about a day. In Palo Alto, took some time.
Well, and then the car got stolen.
Yeah, exactly. So, you know, but that's how your community feels when you allow it to disintegrate. And I think that's one of the things we battle here.
It's 8:30.
We do as a community to make Humboldt a better place to work and live? The answer is to make sure our kids are literate, able to plan financially, move forward in their education so they are better prepared to enter our workforce, and become contributing and productive members in our society, community, and economy. How do we do it? Through the Decade of Difference Initiative. Visit decadeofdifference.org and find out how you, as a parent, student, or business owner, can help. It's the Decade of Difference. Be part of it.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:36. We're back to Talk Shop this morning with Eureka Police Chief Andy Mills. Talk Shop presented by CDH Painting and by Redec. So, Andy, as things change culturally, the trends and things of that nature, do you see any canaries in our area? I mean, tomorrow, if legalization occurs, okay, that's certainly going to change mm-hmm. dynamics for law enforcement, and I guess it goes into effect the next day.
Yeah.
So, you know, big question mark initially, I'm sure. Trying to figure things out, is the city prepared? I know you don't do code enforcement, but, you know, if everybody's getting high and driving around, you're going to be a player.
Well, you know, it's interesting because we've really been working on traffic traffic engineering. And so here's some statistics for you. In 2015, we had 183 injury collisions with 255 injured people. That is down from the year before, where we had 243 injury collisions with 318 injured people. And the year before that, it was 240 with 315 injured people. This year, as of September, at the end of September, we're at 101 with 113 injured people. And so we're, as a society, I think, headed the right way, at least here in Eureka, in reducing the amount and the amount of injuries and collisions.
So what do you attribute that trend towards? It's not as if Mothers Against Drunk Driving suddenly arrived, or some of the things that have been done over the last 30, 35 years to dummy this down. The speed change on H&I?
No, that was because of when they do the speed survey, they look at the 85th percentile of the flow of traffic and found out that they could actually lower the speed limit. I think it's
but everybody going slower might avoid some
true.
Of them. I
yeah,
don't know.
Well, true. And H&I, according to our research, is some of the more frequent streets for collisions.
Really?
Yeah. And all over the place. And then I think, but there's a couple of other reasons as well. One, some of it might just be a trend that we're going to have to watch over time. I mean, you don't get too excited about data, just one year's worth of data. But we also took a look at some of the intersections, and they did some traffic engineering at the intersections. So red lights are red both directions for a full second. We put we had Caltrans put that bright yellow reflective tape on 7th and 4th and 5th.
4th and 5th.
because if people it draws more attention to those things. Then we also put in those red light signs. Don't you violate the red light, it's going to cost you $489 throughout the city. So I think that some people are, anything you can get to calm the traffic, to get people to slow a little bit, to drive more carefully, I think it helps.
Hey, if you give them more signs, it gives them something to look at while they're driving.
They won't be texting that. Yeah, look at the bright
exactly.
side. So I think there's a couple reasons for it. And so trends happen, and now there's a lot of unknowns, though. So you take what's going to happen with the marijuana legislation or this proposition. We don't know. I mean, I've read all kinds of articles and people posturing on it. Is this going to turn into the marijuana capital of the world? Well, I think we're pretty much already there. Or is it going to be just more retail and more people driving under the influence and
more users?
More users. Yeah. I don't know if it'll go up a whole lot because I think who's going to use is going to use. We certainly have.
Well, do you guys get a lot of folks now driving? I know that the PC is under the influence. Okay,
right.
Fine. Hi.
We do, but here's the problem. There's no standard of what, you know, like for instance, if you're driving under the influence of alcohol, 0.08 is legally intoxicated. I mean, you can go lower than that if a person's driving is consistent with that, or 0.01 if you're a juvenile. The problem with marijuana is, what's the standard? And how does THC affect one person compared to the next person? We are not really sure about that. UCSD has a grant from the state to try to figure that piece out. So it's scientific in nature.
Can still get somebody if they're absolutely 100% clean, but driving erratically.
Yes.
Whether texting is the thing or
fatigue.
So you still have a couple of tools in the toolbox, don't you?
Yeah, but they're certainly not as robust as driving under the influence legislation. I mean, from what we understand, the average person is going to spend about $14,000 if you get popped for a DUI. So.
Really?
Yeah. By the time you put in legal fees,
that's a California figure?
Yeah. Legal fees, court fees, you know, all that kind of missing work. I mean, it's a beast.
I would think that. There's your marketing message, man.
Oh, absolutely.
You got $14,000 you want to donate to the city of Eureka and other community,
well, I wish we got one
community jurisdictions.
Yeah, I wish we got one penny of that.
Yeah. $14,000.
Yeah. I mean, you know, who gets rich? The lawyers who are defending these folks and all that. But it's a beast.
Holy
and it should
cow.
Be. There's no excuse for driving under the influence of anything.
Yeah. So you don't. Well, I would think that even, let's say a figure is determined today, it's still going to take 5-6 years before it gets into the system and becomes codified, don't you think?
Sure, and then it's going to be challenged, and then the science is going to have to catch up to the challenges, and the courts are going to have to rule. I mean, we're a ways out. So it's going to be an interesting
And there's
push.
Nothing in the legislation being voted on that addresses that at all?
There's nothing in that legislation, and that's why many of us in law enforcement stood against it. It's not because we don't think that this train of people smoking recreational marijuana is coming. It's because you have to put the pieces in place to make it sense for our society.
KINS, News and Information Times, 8:42. We'll be back with more.
What's the shopping show all about?
If you haven't listened to the show before, it's kind of tough to describe.
I guess the easiest first step is to simply go to the Shopping Show website.
TheShoppingShow.net.
And join us this Saturday for the next Shopping Show.
On KINS 106.3 FM.
KURY FM 95.3 and 101.3 in the Illinois Valley.
And KEKA 101.5 and 100.9 in Eureka. KINS, News and Information Time is 8:47. We're back to Talk Shop this morning with Andy Mills. Andy, with voting tomorrow and with 64 going into effect or not going into effect on Wednesday, what are you going to tell the troops tomorrow? Hold on, get prepared, let's see where we are. Mandatory meeting on Wednesday. Where do you go with this thing? Because it's such a fundamental change if it goes into effect. With what you guys have been dealing with,
well, we told our troops helmets and bats in the cars, and put your gas mask on and we'll see what happens. I'm kidding. That's the facetious side that you can't see over the radio. But no, it's business as usual. We'll be out in our typical configuration. And part of that is just making sure that we're prepared for whatever comes. Now, we don't know what's going to happen with Prop 64. How does that change policing? So if you use, it's legal, and you use recreationally marijuana, can we hire you legally? Do we have to hire you? Is it like alcohol, which we hire people who use alcohol? As long as people aren't abusing it.
What about smoking in public? It's okay if it's a tobacco cigarette.
Yeah.
Other than smoke-free zones.
Well, yeah, within 50 feet of a building. But, yeah, you go to some of these cities where marijuana is decriminalized and all you smell is weed everywhere you go. And
well, at least we're on the coast and we get a nice winds blowing that away.
Yeah, it's not stagnant like L.A. So there's a lot of questions that we have, and I think that it's going to take time to shake this out, and including with the courts. And so we have some significant concerns, but it
boy,
is what it is.
Has the attitude changed in the last minute and a half?
I know it.
Oh boy,
throw bombs. You know, the other thing is, once this starts, and you know, Eureka or Humboldt already has the brand, and so what does this look like in the long run? And again, we just don't know. And all the stuff we're doing with configuring zoning ordinances, and Rob Holman's just been all over that, done a fantastic job. Does this all get thrown out the window because it's completely legal now, or can the city have some control over where things go? I think we have control. But
if you were going to bet more than a Snickers bar, would you say that the break-ins, burglaries, the druggie on druggie is going to go down, stay the same, or bump up?
I think it'll stay the same. I don't see that changing.
Different element of the society.
Yeah, the only difference is if you take it out of homes and put it in buildings where you've got man trap doors, access control, good video surveillance in the neighborhood, that may control it some. There is some research that would point to that. And so I would hope that's the case, and maybe we can even see a little crime reduction.
Hey, gives us something to talk about next month.
There you go.
Thanks for coming by.
Yep.
Join us tomorrow morning for more Talk Shop. Till then, go out and make it a good day. Hug someone you love. See you then.